Namaste, and welcome to this October week three homework update. And before we get started with this week's homework, I just want to go through a few quick things. And the first thing is that the layout of the graduate program hidden page, you know, the members section for that is going to change. So we're going to have two pages instead of one, similar to how it is on the Oneness Direct Ashram, if you are a member of that. And that's really just so that we can have on the first main page that there is now, we can just keep these weekly, the monthly lessons and the weekly homework updates on there. And then on the second page, we'll be putting the extra classes, the special things that really are going to form the backbone of a must watch section for people coming into the graduate program as we do successive courses, Solve and Ego courses that feed more people into the graduate program. So these extra classes are going to become vital watching of learning skills like the statement process, the original thinking video, things like that, that are going to be moved from where they are now onto that page. So you'll just see at some point there'll be two pages there. And it's really just to help make it easier to access, you know, so when somebody's new, we can say, okay, watch everything on page two, at least once through, you know, or make sure you watch this on page two, and the monthly updates will be on, and weekly updates are going to be on page one. The second thing is, if you haven't seen it already, it will be uploaded here. And it's also in a Facebook group, the Graduate Program Facebook group, a message from me about you. And this message applies to everyone that's watching this. I recorded a video during the week because I felt moved to try to orient your position from a different place. Everyone's focus is always on where they haven't achieved as yet and where it's still going at less than perfect in the manifestation, in the way we feel and the outer manifestation through causality. And I'd like you to begin to reframe that if you can, that you are a group of ever growing, more conscious beings, ever more awake, ever more clear, ever more able to make a difference in your own lives and in other people's lives around you and in the planet as a whole. So that's where we should keep our focus, how far we've come, what we've been through and survived, you know, how strong we actually are, how the self sees us, how I see you. That's where the focus should be. And if you can orient yourself from that place more often, it's fine to notice what's still to be done, but then go back to the silence if you can, you know, go back to the awareness. Rest as a noumenon as much as you can. And those things will get, the bugs in your energy will get worked out so that the manifestation is overall much smoother. If we focus on what we need to get done still, more awake you get, guess where that's going to go? You know, you buy one thought and it gets very quickly 5 and 10 and 1,000 thoughts. I'm not talking about ignoring anything. I'm just talking about seeing things clearly. You are a group of very conscious beings that hold a lot of ability to make something great happen in your own life and in everyone's life. And that's easier to do when we're focused on reality, on how exceptional it is that you're here in a human body and that you're even listening to these words. That is exceptional. So watch that video if you haven't seen it, and watch it again and watch it again. And every time you doubt yourself, watch it again. And every time you think you're not doing enough or you're not worthy or whatever it is, watch it again. Remember these words: you already are everything I would want you to be. And I hope you can see that about yourself. So we'll go into this week's homework. We'll begin with this week's homework. So the first one is, I'm going to read it out, but it's not this month's homework. It's really the homework I would like is for people that are focusing on this month's lesson in particular. And if I'm wrong about that, I apologize, but from what you've written, it looks like it's about some previous thing. So if you could send homework in about what is going on this month, about October's thing, then that's great. I'll read it this one time and comment on it. If I'm wrong, I do apologize. It just, as it gets busier, more homework's coming in, it's going to be more and more important to keep it on the focused thing for this month. So the first one says, I was just listening to the course again and really saw how much I overlooked to find the separate self. For the first time ever did I deeply look. So I'm assuming this is talking about the lesson three exercises where we actually look and can't find a separate self. And saw what it means to see that you are not the separate self. Even though I knew that intellectually, I didn't see it over and over again. And so thankful I have found that. I was constantly suffering still to a very big degree, even after that beautiful seeing I had last week. But now I'm going to search for this separate self. So this is really important too, fundamental. The difference between knowing something intellectually and actually knowing it with my whole being is to experience it. If I look and I can't find this separate being, then what does that mean? And we're going to look at this more in November's graduate program work. We're going to take lesson three and take it deeper. So I'm not going to comment too much on that, but it's good that you're aware of where you've been missing out. Everyone has a favorite lesson in the course and everyone hates lesson two. Nobody gets lesson two until you're quite far along. And we all take the bits that we really enjoy and tend to leave the bits we don't enjoy. And that's fine, but eventually you want to master all four lessons, and that's what this graduate program is about. This month's work, we're really looking at where lesson one and lesson four join together. And hopefully you've seen that with your contemplative inquiry. Again, there's no feedback here on what you've seen this month. There's only on some other thing. Are you diving into this month's work? What's your seeing with that? Have you had any epiphanies? Let me know, and hopefully we can move forward from there, diving deeper into it. Every one of these month's lessons, subjects we focus on in the graduate program, is going to take you to the same knowing anyway. It's just different avenues in. And over the months that begin to pile up that you've been in this program, you'll end up with 75 avenues that it's just so clear what you are, what everyone is. And then it's just going to get easier and easier. If there is no separate being when you look, what does that mean? That means there is only the noumenon appearing as this ego, appearing as an ego right now. Never was an actual thing, ego. It's the noumenon appearing in that shape. So more to investigate there. Looking forward to hearing from your reflections on this month's lesson too. So we'll move on to the next one. So, hi Helen, here's the feedback from my homework this week. Firstly, I stayed with the question, what really is this actually? I've started asking it more and more in relation to the other things like certain objects and different people. There's a curiosity there which is growing, very, very good. So curiosity is a sign that you're less and less believing in the labels and the names. Very good. On the whole, the answer is silence and a feeling of presence once again. I've started to ask, what does it mean that the answer is silence? No great realizations as yet. There's sometimes a lightness in the body, which is felt with a sense that I'm a bit taller. I wasn't really expecting that, haha. It's a bit weird, as if I'm standing straighter somehow. There has also been a clearer seeing of other behavioral patterns, which I've followed for so long, just seeing with little or no suffering. Sometimes it feels like a never-ending seeing of patterns. Is this normal? So if, let me take the first bit of that. If you ask any question and the answer always comes silence or stillness or awareness or whatever word we're using for the self, the noumenon, what does that mean? It means if I'm asking, what is this person, this other being, for example, I'm having a challenge with, And there's thought answers to that question. There's emotional answers. There's memories. There's anticipation of the future. There's sensations in the body, my body. When I'm asking this question about this other being, I have these sensations, these thoughts, these emotions, and also silence. So what does it mean? It means that they are all of those things. That person is all of those things. Or if I ask, what is money, actually? And I experience fear, and I experience hopefulness, and I have lots of thoughts about it. And I also experience silence. Money is all of those things. It is the silence. And it's appearing as money, and it's appearing as fear, and it's appearing as hope. And that's kind of, if you begin to see the interconnectedness of all things, if I'm inquiring about what this other being is, and some of the answers I get to that question are felt in this body, can I really say that they are separate and outside of me, this other person? If I'm asking what they are, and some of the answers are localized here, and some of the answers don't have any location, then is it a being out there, or do they only exist in here, or are neither of them completely correct, fully? And are they the silence and not the phenomenal answers? Or is it all of those? Is this being, is the answers all of those? I'm getting these answers. If I was to hold a £10 note or some £1 coins in my hand, and I asked, what really is this money, actually? And I felt a flutter of anger inside my body. I could say, well, it's metal coins, it's paper with ink on, it's printed. It's also this hand that it's touching. It's also the thoughts I'm having about it in this body. It's also the feeling of anger in this body. Is money really outside of me then? And also there's the answer, the silence in the background, in which the hand and the money and the thoughts and everything is arising. So just some kind of points to consider there. So sometimes it feels like a never-ending seeing of patterns. Is this normal? Very normal. What will happen, though, is it will evolve into a fine-tuning of those patterns. Those patterns that you're seeing are reflecting in your outer world. You know, in here and out there are the same, as we learn in lesson two. The patterns that I'm seeing will be exactly what I'm experiencing in my outer world, or in my body, or in my finances, or in my relationships, or in the world. You know, how I see myself is how I see the world. How I see the world is also how I see myself. And as you begin to recognize more clearly that as I'm seeing these patterns and working with them, contemplating and questioning them, my outer world has to begin to reflect that back to me, or my body, or my finances, or whatever it's showing up in. This pattern is manifesting in an outer way. Remember, out there is also the body to the noumenon, because it's an object, the body. It's a concept. So it will begin to be less and less I've got all these patterns to deal with. It'll be more and more where I'm fine-tuning my frequency and bringing these ideas and transcending them, coming back into joy more and more and more, into peace, into love, into silence. And then that will begin to reflect more and more in my experience, in my world. So it's less and less of a to-do list and more of a conscious sculpting of a life lived in joy and peace. Less and less, oh my goodness, I've got all these to fix. More and more, wow, I can so see how that's appearing out there, because it's in here and still being given some attention. And then it becomes a joy to kind of climb your way out of that, either with the statement process or through some contemplative question, such as, what really is this thing? Your outer world is constantly in upgrade, in changing to match your new idea about yourself, or lack of idea about yourself, lack of ideas about anything. And that ends up being the natural state then. So if it's still a kind of a chore, a to-do list, you know, hard work, then There'll be some amount of that going on while the body's there fully, you know. So can you turn it into, what can this turn into? Here's where it is right now. What can this turn into? What is the highest expression of this pattern when it's transcended? And how close can I reach to that in this moment? Am I open to it just disappearing completely? And just to operate from that place, it'll be a lot easier. I decided to spend some time reading the Isha Upanishad. If you remember last week, I was wondering whether there was resistance to looking at the text or whether it was an urge to simplify my contemplations. And reading this text, I felt two reactions. I'm learning to notice these reactions as an opportunity to question what is it being experienced. One was around the phrase untouched by sin. I've always preferred the meaning of sin as simply missing the mark. But this text seems to be using a different meaning, I think, or am I misreading this? So, is there a place that's untouched by sin? Sin here meaning to miss the mark or ignorance of my real nature. That's the first, that's the original sin, to separate myself from the rest of creation. Sin, again, meaning ignorance, not something inherently wrong with me. So is there a place that's untouched by sin? Well, we can check that out. When I rest in the stillness as a stillness, or I tune into the silence, or I ask, where am I? Immediately, hopefully, there is that vast emptiness, that vast expanse of being, utterly, utterly quiet, that is untouched by sin, untouched by ignorance. It doesn't know or not know. It doesn't think it's enlightened or unenlightened. It doesn't have any duality, any polarity, any pairs of opposites. It doesn't have any thought. It's a source of thought. It's utterly, utterly quiet. So where is this place that's untouched by sin, where even the first identifying thought, I am this body, or even before that, I am? Is there a place before even that? That's what this is pointing to, the absolute reality in its utter simplicity, where it isn't even able to identify or disidentify. Excuse me. So something to look at there in that. The other reaction was around the following words. But for those whom he is transcendent and immanent, cross the sea of death with the immanent and enter into immortality with the transcendent. The last two lines I've quoted seem to imply that immanent and transcendent are two separate entities. It says with the immanent, with the transcendent. Is that because I'm reading this from a point of separation? If it's with, that implies two things. So I wondered if you could clarify, please, on what is meant here. So, but for those whom he is transcendent and immanent, cross the sea of death. So you cross the sea of death when there's transcendent and immanent, when they're both together. The word with means together, not one or the other. They can only be present together with the word with, W-I-T-H. Immanent, transcendent, and with each other. So only when they are both fully, deeply understood do we finally cross the sea of death to the other side, the other shore. So the word with indicates two, yes, but it's indicating two things having come together. And we could say the same about the word and as well in this case. It implies two, but two, this and that, not this or that. So immanent with transcendent, imminent and transcendent. And really, to resolve this, I would ask you just to keep looking at the meaning of these words. And then, as I said, everyone watching is going to be like, oh my God, haven't we done enough of that? These two, because it really is pulling up some resistance in everyone to some degree. But there is a place where those things mean the same. And there's no even, you could write about two, you could speak about two, but really there's just the one there. So go deeper. I was hearing from someone who was in the meetup that you have during the week, all of you, one of them, and that you were contemplating on what I mean when I say go deeper. And that's a really intelligent thing to do. That makes me really, really happy. Well, I'm really happy anyway, but so there is always the ability to go deeper with anything. And what I mean when I say go deeper, well, it can mean a multitude of things, as you probably realize. But first and foremost, that there is more you can see about this where it makes even more sense than it does right now. There's always more to see, always, always, always. And even if you had the most profound, amazing seeing, I would still be saying, go deeper. It's always going to be my answer, because great, great, great. You know, either you could see this a little clearer and be suffering a little less, or, you know, so go deeper, or that is amazing. That's amazing what you've seen, what you've had revealed. Keep going deeper, you know, because there's more. So it's always going to be that. And don't worry, nobody's kind of telling tales. It just kind of comes up in conversation. And I like to kind of hear what's going on in the group sometimes, and, you know, where you're going with your questions. And it's very exciting to me. So have a look and go deeper with that, and to see if you can feedback on that. It does imply two things in terms of language. But when there's a deeper, deeper... understanding, we should say, visceral understanding of what those two words actually represent in terms of awakening, then we're close to absolute reality there, where there isn't really two, although it can appear that way. Okay, so we'll move on to the next one, and then we'll take a break, I think. Once again, I found the homework feedback invaluable. So this is really good, and I just want to say, before I go further with this, I'm hearing two types of feedback about the feedback, the homework that's coming in and the feedback I'm giving. Nearly everyone is saying that it's invaluable, that they're really, you know, finding a way to deepen their own inquiry, their own assimilation of this one's subject by these type of sessions, by what everybody else is seeing and sending in. And that's great. And, you know, that is one of the reasons for doing it this way rather than answering emails separately. It's the beauty of how satsang works. You know, everyone's question is everyone's answer. It belongs to everyone. The other type is, you know, that I don't feel like I'm seeing what everyone else is seeing. I'm not seeing it deep enough. You know, and we're kind of using this homework session to agree that we're not good enough because we aren't having deep and profound insights. Or we don't feel we are. So if that is the case, also look for the other side. Look at where you're inspired to question. Look at where these homework sessions inspire you to go inside yourself. And most of all, recognize if you can that kind of perspective, that it's great that they're having these realizations, but I don't feel like I'm getting it here, is coming from a separation. And because your other graduate program members are having the realizations that you want to have, means it's possible for you to have it too. I used to get very, very jealous when people would have these massive epiphanies and awakenings, and I wasn't having that when I was watching satsang online. And I began to realize, because I'm seeing it, means it can happen here too. Because I'm seeing it out there, it must be going on in here. I just have to allow that. I have to line up with that. I have to match that. I have to realize that. If I just keep it as jealousy, they've got it, I'm not getting it, then I'm separating myself from it, and it cannot manifest here spontaneously. So it's fine to want what other students are experiencing, but don't agree Don't insist so strongly that you don't have it here. The fact that you're seeing it in a fellow human being means you do have it, because you are that body also. As you allow that perspective, look at all these beings that are me having these breakthroughs, and I'd like it to happen here, and I'm staying open for it to happen here, and it has to happen here because it's happening there, and out there is not different than here, and in here I'm feeling more allowing, and I'm sure it's going to happen soon, and I'm going to relax because I know if I'm seeing it out there, it must be coming in here. Maybe I've just not been allowing it. You know, you can kind of talk to yourself in that way, and hopefully it will become clearer. Okay, let's go back to this homework. I'm asking the question, what is reality, or is it real? I'm asking it around many areas in life. There have been many opportunities to ask it when an issue appears. I'm trying to ask it in quieter moments too, so it's not a problem solver, but a way of being. Very good, very good. It should be a way of being rather than a problem solver. It's also problem solver. You know, if I have a issue with another being and I ask, what really is this being? It's going to help solve the problem I have with them. But deeper than that, there is a way of being with these questions where my whole orientation comes from this openness, the question, the wanting to live from the question. There has been an avoidance of the other homework tasks. Maybe I'm being a little harsh with myself. I've had many openings and revelations with asking the question. So maybe that's what is best at this time. So if you see that you're avoiding other areas of the homework, can you kind of turn towards that a little bit, even make a little bit of turning towards, and even just looking at why am I avoiding this? Even that is going to be doing the homework in those areas, even if you don't have a profound realization of the other areas, the other statements, for example, here. Just to see that you're doing it first is the key. I'm avoiding that, choosing this. Is that out of natural joy? This that I found is my way into constantly living as a self consciously and effortlessly? Or is it a little avoidance of, don't really want to look at that thing because it's going to bring up some stuff? And probably it's a little bit of both, you know, so just to be conscious of why you're avoiding something and running towards something else, it is key. And I'm sure that you've been through all this already, so just a little pointer to push in the right direction. I have been looking at the two words and their meanings and recognize them as the same oneness. That's good. Can you maybe give me a little bit more feedback on that? It'd be nice to hear how you came to that conclusion, the kind of thought process around it, if you could. My seeming life has been very busy this week than the quieter life I normally lead. I've had many opportunities to look at what reality is in these moments. We had some disappointing news this week, and I looked at what this was in reality. There was a reaction within me, but it was almost for my loved ones, as they would expect me to be disappointed. So, do you have to go with that reaction? Do you have to do what is expected of you? And is that really helping in the deepest of ways? It's easy to kind of explain away where we're still buying into the illusion in some places. Or maybe it's even better to show someone that there is a place where we're just flowing with what is, no matter what it looks like. The main recognition this week was about the seemingness and the deepening revelation in that it's all the same. So I think this statement is in relation to that this all seems to be a world full of beings and objects and things, and that the seems to be of it doesn't necessarily have to go away, but even that will go away at some point if I want it to. So that there isn't, okay, this seems to be a table, this seems to be another being, but I know what it really is. There isn't that two-ness there anymore. If you don't want it, it can be just, you look, your eyes are looking at that thing and there's no thought about it at all. I think that's what you're pointing towards with this homework that you sent in this particular statement. Okay. It felt like a battle before seeing the seeming issue or life as oneness. I'm laughing at it with myself as the battle is lost and it's perfect. How can life be experienced by this mind and body and be anything? How can life being experienced by this mind and body be anything separate to oneness? That would be more than oneness. It's so funny. So the seemingness, when that begins to disappear, there's just life. There's just you everywhere. There's just this. And it's not even, and it also seems to be a world of manifestation, that the oneness of it is it. There is nothing other than it. And it sounds like that dividing line is dropping away, which is one of the fruits of what is reality, actually, question. It's a really good place to ask that, what is this actually? What is reality actually? And to begin to move from that place, there'll be less and less inner division about anything, less and less struggle with anything. Because whatever it seems to be, it's seen clearly it really is not. And then there's just more peace, more love, more joy. So we will leave that there for now. We'll come back with part two for the rest of the homework. And I will see you soon.